Yeah, let's go. Woo! Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Brunch once again, January 14th edition, around 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It is time to talk some divisional football. I am Joe Caputo, joined by my co-host, as always, Chris Malicki. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing pretty well. Pretty ready for what we like to call the best weekend in football, is the divisional weekend. We say that partially because, so for the past few years, us and some of our college buddies get together at Joe's house and watch the games, and they've been a pretty good slate of games, but overall, I think they tend to be a pretty competitive weekend.
It usually turns out to be really fun, and of course, like we mentioned last time, Alex Zucker just makes it so much better because he is a huge Pats fan. We have referenced him on the show multiple times. His name, refer to him as Zook.
He's been our NHL guy.
Oh, yeah, he was on the podcast. He was he's a huge Rangers fan.
It's always good to watch football with him, and we will be watching his team, the New England Patriots, as they will be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The game will be at 4:30 on Saturday in Foxborough. And what do we have the line at right now?
So, firstly, before we get to that, just want to once again give a shout-out to my boy D-Lane. I think he calls by Delaney or D Lane something, but he provided our intro music, and I'd like to give him one more shout out. It worked out pretty well on the last podcast, so shout out there. Also, quick plug, next week, Steve Prome back on the brunch. It's official. And we also have another special treat coming to you that we don't really want to give too much away about yet. It is going to be a very unique brunch. It's going to be accompanied by an article on the brunch website, but I don't really want to give much more away. But I think we're going to have Will back on, and it'll be fun. That's all I can really say about it.
Big things happen. Good things happen for the brunch. That's why you have to keep listening. You don't have an option. Let's put it this way. How are you going to feel when all of your friends start talking about what was on the brunch last week and you don't know what they're talking about? You know?
Exactly.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
You know what? You put that really nicely, because I actually heard two people at lunch last week, and one of them was like, "Oh, you hear that last brunch episode?" And the other one was like, "What are you talking about?" And
well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, like, you don't want to be in that situation. Like, you don't want to be that guy that's like, "What?
Like, what's the brunch?" Let me guess. Nobody sits with him at lunch anymore, right?
No, now he has to eat by himself. It's a sad story, and one that you don't want to find yourself a part of in the future.
Right.
All right, let's get to Chiefs Pats.
Yeah, Chiefs Pat. So
hold on, wait a second, Chris. Wait a second.
What?
Sorry, that was my friend Sessa. We're gonna have to take a quick break because I'm gonna have to edit the audio here, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
First commercial break in brunch history.
Wow, this is big.
There are people who find their own path, chart their own course, who never stop moving forward. And never, ever back down. Entrepreneurs and journeymen, mavericks and pioneers, who believe the American dream doesn't just happen, it's something you have to work for. We're for those kinds of people, because we're that kind of airline. We're never finished, never satisfied, and we never stop looking for a better way. It's what's made Southwest like nobody else. And it's how we've grown into America's largest domestic airline. We are Southwest. Welcome aboard.
All right, and we are back from the first ever commercial break in brunch history. Chris, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you're still with us.
Anyway, so...
All right, well, hold on. Chiefs plus 4.5. New England minus 4.5 in Foxborough against Andy Reid. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, so
just wanted to lay that
four out. So the interesting thing about this matchup is that I'm pretty confident that New England is a significantly better team than Kansas City. However, I wonder if this may be a bad matchup for them.
And we had touched on that last time too.
Yeah, and I say this because, and of course, everyone's going to touch on that game. Going back to last year when the Chiefs destroyed the Pats, their offensive line was a mess. The Chiefs' pass rush was dominant, and it's kind of the same thing this year. This game, it could be the same issue. I think that the Pats should be getting Sebastian Vollmer back, so that would be helpful. And also, Justin Houston is still working his way back from that knee injury. He was a little he wasn't completely himself last week, so maybe he'll be 100% this week. But that's going to be where this game's going to be won. It's going to be one of the trenches, and it should be exciting. But I'm a little worried because the Patriots, this might be the team they wanted to play the least.
Yeah, and we had actually, let's make another Zook reference right now. We asked him which of the three potential teams, because he's a Pats fan, which one did you not want to see? And he said the Chiefs. And actually, today I was in Buffalo Wild Wings. I got some wings, 60-cent boneless on Thursdays. Maybe that'll be our first commercial, Buffalo Wild Wings. You don't really like them that much, do you?
I'm not a fan of them. Not great service, so I'll give them back.
Actually, that's a great point because I had to wait 25 minutes for my takeout order today.
Did you go to the one in Eatontown?
Yep.
Oh, it's brutal, man.
It really was. I was standing there, and then this African-American fella, he saw me, and he's like, oh, this guy's been waiting here for 25 minutes. I got to get him his wings. And then he goes in the kitchen, and he brings them out. I'm like, why couldn't you do that 20 minutes ago?
Well, you know, at least he knew how much time you were waiting.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, he should have probably given me free wings, no?
Nah, it doesn't work like that.
Not in this day and age, I guess. Anyway, the reason why I bring up Buffalo Wild Wings is because they were playing the NFL Network on one of the TVs, and the NFL Network was replaying that Chiefs-Pats game from last year when, I didn't remember how much the Patriots, they got destroyed.
Oh, it was
in that game. It was probably the worst Patriots game that they have ever played in the Brady era. I mean, I don't remember them getting beaten that bad. The only other time I remember them playing a terrible game was that game against the Niners. But then they came back. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
They were down 31-3 or something. They came back, though, in that game. They never had a shot against the Chiefs, so I see what you're saying about the matchup problem. And now today I saw Rob Gronkowski is still having knee problems. He was in the hospital today getting injections. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I was on the Pats last week when I first saw the line come out, and I thought everything was going to be back to normal this week. But I'm a little on the fence right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I still don't know what I'm going to do, and I have to pick. Right now.
Well, the thing I will say, which might be my deciding factor, and it definitely hurts the Chiefs that Macklin might not be 100%. Looks like he's probably going to play. But Edelman will be back. And once again, it'll be his first game back from that foot injury, and it's not an easy injury to just come back from it and get right back in the swing of things. But people, I think, kind of forget, the Patriots lost four of their last six games. What happened when Edelman was healthy? That's literally unstoppable. The entire year, and then Edelman broke his foot, and it kind of all went downhill, and that's where they started losing games. But I think that it's just kind of things where it's going to be like, you know what? Everybody forgets that we're really good, and we are really good. And
you're gonna have to say that last part again. You cut out.
In them. You hear me? Am I here?
Yep, you're there now.
Okay. I have confidence that the Patriots will get done what they need to get done, and keep in mind, we haven't really seen an Andy Reid moment yet. You never know when it's going to come.
So you're taking the Pats minus the 4.5.
I'm going to take the Pats minus the 4.5. Of course, I would love to have that half point, but you know what? I'll go with New England. I'm pretty confident in them. But that one is going to be a good game. I'm excited to watch that one.
The one thing actually that we haven't mentioned to this point in the podcast yet is the fact that Will Inari, who was on our last podcast, is not with us today. And the reason for that is because he went 0-4 last week, and we booted him.
We had to give him a timeout. We gave him a suspension.
No, we're actually just kidding. He got stuck at work tonight. He couldn't be with us, but he did go on four last week, and maybe this will teach him a lesson that he has to miss a brunch. It's been said to teach other people lessons in the past. Remember when Oriola was begging to get on the brunch for like draft coverage and stuff, and we kept not letting him on, and I think that was good for him. Really taught him a lesson.
Or maybe. Well, we're still not sure about that.
Yeah,
but,
I'm not sure. I'm gonna take. All right. Here's a bet that I'm going to make. Like, I'm physically gonna put it in. I'm taking the Chiefs +3 in the first half. Because they're a really good first quarter team, and I feel like they can keep this game close. I have to lay the 4.5 with New England for the game.
Wow.
It's just the Pats at home, rested in the playoffs against a team that's not the Ravens. I'm going to take them. I laid 7.5 with them last year when they played the Ravens, and they screwed me in the divisional round. So, I mean, there's not good precedent here for me laying points with the Pats, but I'm gonna lay it. I'm going to lay it. I'm with you. I'm doing it.
All right, so we are in agreement for the first game. And
by the way, we'll get Will's picks
on Saturday, the only night game of the weekend, and that is the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You like that? In Arizona against the Cardinals. I believe this line is at Cardinals -7.5.
Yes, that's where we're gonna pick it at. It's actually 7 right now, but we're gonna pick it at 7.5 because we don't like having ties.
Okay. Keep in mind, Packers, for a good portion of this year, and then they got to play a terrible Redskins defense, who everyone forgot played in the NFC East this year, and that's how they got to the playoffs. And then compare that to the Arizona defense, which has been great this year, even without Tyrann Mathieu. And I'm not really sure how to stop the offense. I don't know how the Packers are going to start this Arizona offense. That, to me, is the biggest key to the game, is slowing down Carson Palmer by a pressure on him.
Yeah.
The Packers had 6 sacks last week against Kirk Cousins, and they actually – that's.
Are you still there? What's going on with your phone over there, man?
It's plugged in. Would that matter?
I don't know, but you're like fine for minutes, and then there'll be just like a 3-second pause where like you just completely cut out.
And then
the listeners are going to be like, "Oh my god, he's making a great point," and it's
right.
Like.
Right. Okay. Right. Well. I unplugged it, so hopefully that works.
All right. Well, right now you're good.
Okay. Then I'll keep going.
All right.
Despite the technical difficulties, Green Bay is tied for 7th in the league in sacks this year. They have 43. They have a good pass rush. That's really kind of the only thing they do that well. The secondary is okay. The run defense is not good. And really, the only chance they have is if they're going to get a lot of pressure on Carson Palmer. And I don't know if they can, first of all. And secondly, if they do, Arizona just has so many weapons. They have so many options to go to. I just don't know. That's not even
just
touching on Green Bay receivers getting open.
Yeah, Arizona just completely shellacked them like 3 weeks ago. And now it's pretty much the same exact situation, except it's now in the playoffs. And I don't know if that matters much, to be honest with you. I think this line's a little light. I'm thinking about teasing it because can you really see the Packers winning this game?
I really don't. I think if you're talking straight up, this is the game I'd be most confident. I would be most confident in the Arizona Cardinals to advance to the championship game.
I agree with you. And one more thing, and you mentioned it. We have actually – we talked a little bit about how – week the Redskins schedule was on our last the wild card preview podcast, and then I mentioned how bad their defense actually was, but after the podcast I think Will texted us, and he was like, have they beaten a playoff team all year? And The answer to that question was no, and they had actually not even beaten a team with a winning record all year. So the Redskins were indeed fake. They were exposed by the Packers, who I don't think are really that good either. I'm laying it. I'm laying the 7.5 here.
I'm going to lay the 7.5 too. Packers. I don't like that half point, but I'm going to lay it too. I just I don't have any confidence in Green Bay. I really don't.
Like, I feel like the only if this wasn't Green Bay, if it was a team that was exactly the same talent as Green Bay, but they weren't called Green Bay, and this wasn't a playoff game, this line would be 10, wouldn't it?
That's true. That's true. Like, say this was Minnesota.
Right. Minnesota's probably better than Green Bay.
Minnesota's probably better than Green Bay. And if this is Minnesota, this line's probably 10, probably 9.5, 10 points.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this line. It's too low. We're taking Arizona. I just don't like the fact that we're on the favorites early here.
Yeah, just laying a lot of points, especially with the road teams winning last week.
Yeah.
And then we move to Sunday, and we're going to start off with what I think is the best game of the weekend.
Yep.
And this is my really second favorite game. For Seahawks Panthers, this is going to be good. After the Seahawks, everybody says they're the most dangerous team. Yada yada yada. And you have the team that's been the best team in football this year, the Carolina Panthers. And it's really a testament to how well Cam Newton has been playing and how he has gotten to the Panthers to this level. You know, of course, everybody's talked all year about how he's had a limited receivers, limited receiving options. He's had to do a lot himself, and he just managed to get it done time and time again. You know, this is the point, and I think Bill Simmons said it on his podcast this week: is Cam Newton the best quarterback in football right now? And
yeah, I think he's probably the best player in football right now.
You know, it at least begs asking, and this could really be the year that Cam just kind of took that step forward, and now he's in the elite. He's an elite quarterback, and in not just by saying elite, where he's very good, but like, you know, how we've always discussed, like, oh, like it's Brady and Rodgers and who else? Maybe Luck soon, but Cam might be up there, and you know who else might be close to him? Russell Wilson. So
yeah,
there you go.
So Seattle, though, I mean, come on, well, with this crap now.
Yeah,
like what was that on Sunday? The fact that they won that game, you know. If they go on to win another Super Bowl this year, I don't know if I can handle it, Chris.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna quit?
I don't know. I can't stand games like that. Like the Vikings played better. Mike Zimmer, by the way, phenomenal job coaching that game. Like other
really
coaches, please take notes. Like that guy went in. He knew he was an underdog. He knew he had to play. You know, he knew that underdogs are supposed to play offensively instead of defensively, and I don't mean like offense or defense. I mean
aggressively.
Like aggressively, yes. He went for it from his own 40 on fourth down this first drive. Other people, like, please do that because that's how you win games. And, like, don't discount what he did in that game because his dumb kicker couldn't make a 27-yard field goal at the end of the game. I really, out of all the people in that game, I felt – the worst for Mike Zimmer because I feel like he really deserved that win.
And it's a testament to not just the game plan and knowing what you were going to do and what you were going to try to establish in that game, but also understanding your environment. You know, he knew that was going to be a rock fight. And if you want to talk about Seattle's offense this week, I think Seattle's offense is going to struggle, but I don't think that because of the game on Sunday in Minnesota. I think that game was very unique.
It was cold.
There wasn't going to be an offense. It was too cold. It wasn't going to happen. And Mike Zimmer knew that, and he knew what he had to do. He knew that points were going to be at a premium, and he knew that he had a good defense that he could trust in these conditions. So we'll tip a cap to Mike Zimmer. But to the Seahawks, two of the past 3 weeks, they have really struggled, and the only – off was against the team might not have been all there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the you way wonder... the Seahawks have looked the other two games out of the three, like that leads me to believe even more that the Cardinals did not give one crap about that last game.
And you don't want to discredit what the Seahawks and Russell Wilson have done this year on their the stretch. You know, is that the fluke? You know, is Seattle's offense playing well the fluke, or is their offense?
Yeah, they
dominated. Look at the defense they dominated. They crushed the Niners. They won a shootout with the Steelers, which was good.
Watch it there, buddy.
Hey, sorry. They beat the Vikings handily when the Vikings were missing, I think, their four best defenders. And then they crushed the Ravens and the Browns, you know. And it kind of – what we talked about last week, what really helped them in that stretch, I think, more than what, you know, Doug Baldwin's offensive apparition, Thomas Rawls. And right now you don't know what Marshawn Lynch is going to be on Sunday, and you don't have Thomas Rawls. What I would just want to point out for this game, they're going up against one of the best defenses in the league, and Russell Wilson's top targets could be Kristen Michael and Doug Baldwin. And Doug Baldwin could be taken out of the game by Josh Norman.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here again.
Yeah, I think we are. We're just
laying points like they're nothing this week.
Well, you know, honestly, it's the playoffs, and I honestly feel like in situations like this, and not that these games won't be close or exciting, but in certain situations, you just kind of got to go with the better team. There's not a ton of trends out there that I love, aside from the fact that these teams are playing with the highest of motivations. So,
the line is currently implying that Seattle's the better team. It's Carolina minus 1.5. I don't see how that, in any stretch of anyone's imagination, how that's possible.
That's got to just be so they can get some money on the Panthers. Seattle's a public team. You know, it's one of those things.
I guess they probably already got money on Seattle.
We're seeing that a lot this year. I feel like in the world of gambling, that a lot of the times it almost doesn't even matter who's the better team. It's just a matter of who do you think they're going to get money on.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so because of that, I think it's a good opportunity to take advantage and take Seattle here. I mean, take Carolina here, because I think Carolina is clearly the better team. And when the line came out last week, we said, what, 3.5, 4? I think that's
least,
where it should
that
be.
That would be conservative, you know? Like,
I think that's exactly where it should be. Carolina is completely healthy. I think Stewart's coming back this week. I don't know. I don't see how you get to this line, to this Seattle only getting 1.5 this game. I laid it with real money. I put real money on the game.
All right, so I'm going to point out that some news coming in. So Marshawn Lynch was practiced full, but of course I think he practiced full last Thursday and kind of pulled himself out. So we don't know what capacity we're going to get Lynch in.
Yeah,
and then touching back on the previous game, the Patriots-Chiefs, Gronk is also dealing with a back injury, and he's looking like he could be a game time. And they expect him to play, but it's probably a lot less, probably a lot less comfortable you are if you're a Pats fan.
Yeah, I think that's a big game changer if Gronk doesn't play in that game.
Absolutely.
I actually might even change my pick if Gronk doesn't play.
I might too. We'll
reserve the right to change that pick,
right,
if we want to. All right, the last game has the most uncertainty, but I think is the most intriguing of the four games. I don't necessarily think that it's my most exciting, the game I'm most excited about for the weekend, but there's a lot of different factors that are going to this game, and it's Pittsburgh at Denver. And I think that the fair assessment right now would be to say that Antonio Brown is not going to play. And Ben Roethlisberger is going to play, but he's going to be limited.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because of that. You know, it's such a weird game with the weird injuries, and I know the line's weird. I think it's Denver minus 7.5.
It's Denver minus 7, even money on Denver. If you want to, we'll say 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard. It's so hard to gauge this stuff because you. First of all, you have the injuries, and it's looking like Williams is out again, and it's looking like Brown will be out. And how effective will Roethlisberger be? You know, a week ago he couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field, and I think he sprained some ligaments in his shoulder. So, and another factor is, what if he just gets hurt again? Like, what if he dies in this game? And Landry Jones has to come in, of course. Then you can also argue, what if Peyton Manning dies in this game, which is also very
possible. Well, yeah, but the backup is much better.
But that might actually help. That might actually help
Denver. Broncos. Yep.
Do you think that the NFL is doing everything they can to get Broncos Pats? Is that why this is all happening? Is it a conspiracy?
Yeah, like they told Ben to injure his shoulder. So
or they told Perfect to say, like, you know, like, just kill whoever you can, and we'll give you some money. But you know, I haven't been high on Denver starting the playoffs because I don't like to switch back to Peyton Manning. People forget how bad he was in the beginning of the year, and how do you trust that? You know, how exactly do you trust that? Like, I mean, of course, how do you trust the Steelers?
Yeah.
But
well, let me give you something on the other end here to kind of think about, because all the talk about this game is like Ben Manning, Antonio Brown, like, what are they going to do? How healthy are they? But let's talk a little bit about the last game that the Steelers played against a quarterback who, like, might be similar to Peyton Manning at this point, A.J. McCarron. Maybe not intellectually, but physically. And the Steelers, what they did in that game is they completely committed to the run. They completely stopped anything that the Bengals tried to do on the ground. You take out one Jeremy Hill 38-yard run, the Bengals had 23 carries for, I believe it was 53 yards. Yes, 23 carries for 53 yards if you take out one run by Jeremy Hill. So underrated aspect of this game is actually the Steelers' defense. I know that Denver torched them last game in the first half, but they turned around and they played a good game in the second half, and I'm talking about when they played each other, like week 15, I believe it was. Actually, I know it was because Antonio Brown went off and I won the fantasy football championship because of that. So week 15. And the reason why I think the Steelers are going to hang in this game is because I think that their defense is actually better than a lot of people think it is. So even if you can get a Ben at like 60, 70% and you get – I mean, you're not going to have Antonio Brown, but you get decent play out of the other receivers that are there. I think the Steelers keep this game close. The Steelers are kind of a team that, regardless of how outmatched they are in a game, they still find a way to keep the game close. And I think back to that game that they played Arizona back when they had Landry Jones at home, and they actually beat Arizona in that game. They just find a way. They find a way to keep these games close. I think they have a legit shot to go into Denver and win this week.
I do, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this game. I'll take the points, but, you know, I'm just going to take them regardless. I don't know what Peyton Manning we're going to get, and I think it's great that you mentioned that the Steelers' defense is a lot better than people give them credit for, and also the fact that the running game hasn't been awful. It wasn't awful last week. You know, I mean, Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Todman, they were able to be serviceable. And you still, like, could this be a game where Martavis Bryant has 6 catches for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns? Of course. You never know. Like, you never know when the Steelers are just going to be like, okay, like, we're just going to throw all over you and there's nothing you can actually do about it. So it's going to be interesting. Antonio Brown, obviously a huge game changer. They were saying the biggest non-quarterback injury that could happen in the playoffs. But I don't feel it. I just can't trust Denver. I can't do it. You know, this is a team that has been so shaky all year that has not really impressed. Even with Osweiler, Osweiler. Whoa, that's a hard name.
You were right over there?
Yeah, no, it was a tough one. I got Osweiler.
Maybe because you said Shakey's. Maybe you were thinking about Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah, I think I might have said. I might have been going to the Shakey's Pizza banquet. So let's look at the Broncos schedule real quick. To look at their body of work.
All right, bodies.
They beat the Ravens barely week one, and now we look at the Ravens. They beat the Chiefs when Jamal Charles basically handed the game to them.
Right. Yeah, they should have lost that game.
They beat the Lions by 12, which, you know, good, but Lions were in disarray in the beginning of the season.
Yep.
But still, a fine win in Detroit by 12. They beat the Vikings by three, you know, and
that was okay. No one really knew what the Vikings were at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, well, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, like of course Denver's gonna win that game.
Yep.
Then they beat the Raiders by six, and I remember that game. That was like a joke of a game. Like they were like not playing well. And
probably should have lost that game.
Yeah. Carr started throwing picks.
Carr did that a few times this year. Just like handed games to other teams.
He had a good year, but he did that. They won in Cleveland by three. You probably should win.
That was an overtime game, actually.
That's not good. That's, looking at the Browns now, that's not great.
No, definitely not good.
And then they crushed the Packers, who we now know are frauds. They lost to the Colts, who Andrew Luck was playing.
That was the game Andrew Luck got hurt.
That was, I mean,
but he finished the game.
I think he was hurt all year.
Right, but that's the game he punctured whatever he did.
Then they got manhandled in what I like to call the Peyton Manning obituary game against Kansas City
obituary. Yeah,
they beat the Bears by two. They somehow won that Pats game after Gronk got injured. They had a win over the Chargers, which wasn't that impressive. I didn't love it. And they lost to the Raiders. They got knocked off by the Steelers. A good win against the Bengals, but AJ McCarron also. And then they beat the Chargers in a game where, you know, it was a lot closer than it should have been. And, I mean, of course, you could say it with a lot of these games, like, oh, yeah, like you're discrediting them for actually beating the Raiders and beating the Bengals and yada yada and all those games. But my opinion is that I'm a lot less confident in them as a team that has home field throughout the playoffs going up against one of the most banged up contenders we've seen in a while.
Well, the thing is, in those games, I mean, most of those games were won by their defense. I think if they win this game, it's going to be, I mean, they have to be lights out. They have to be absolutely lights out defensively in this game, because I really don't think they're going to get many points. I think this is going to be a low scoring game.
They absolutely could be lights out. It's certainly possible. You know, you can't discredit the defense. I know when we talk about all the other stuff, you know, led the league in sacks this year with 52, and they've just been so painful to opposing quarterbacks and opposing offenses. So, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be interesting to see Peyton Manning win his Super Bowl and go out on top led by his defense?
Yeah, I can't see any of the AFC teams except the Patriots, if they're 100% healthy, beating one of those NFC teams. Like any of the three, because I don't think Green Bay has got a shot to get in. But Arizona, Carolina, and Seattle, I think all three of those teams are clearly better than Denver and Kansas City and New England, if New England's in its current state, and Pittsburgh, if Pittsburgh's in its current state. Now, the only chance I give is if, you know, New England gets completely healthy, Gronk healthy, and Edelman completely healthy, and they click. And then if Ben gets completely healthy and Antonio Brown's back and D'Angelo Williams back, maybe I give Pittsburgh a shot too. But current state of all the teams, I don't think any of the AFC teams have a shot in the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely NFC heavy. You could almost argue that the top three teams are in the NFC. I don't know about Seattle. I do think that New England will eventually get back on track. I don't know if Pittsburgh will. The injuries seem like it's a little cloudier.
Yeah.
But Carolina's legit. Arizona's legit. And we've been saying that all year. I firmly thought that for a while we were all on board for a Carolina-Arizona and then a New England-Pittsburgh championship weekend. And it could still happen. It's just the Pittsburgh one is a bit of a question mark now. But I'm pretty confident in the other three happening. And I'm still going to take the Steelers in this one.
So we have the same exact picks because I'm taking the Steelers as well.
Oh, no. Can we change something? Can they add another game?
Like maybe I'll take Kansas City.
That's
the only one I'm on the fence about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
the other three,
I feel pretty strongly about.
If you take Kansas City, then they'll win. So don't do that.
All right. Well, you asked me to.
That stuff always happens. But if I take Kansas
last
City,
week, then, yeah, right. No, I got
they,
it. I
no,
got
they're
it.
Not going to win.
Last week we were both 2-2, and Will was 0-4. We will have we are going to put Will's picks again up on our site.
Yeah.
If he does another 0-4, I think he's gone. I think that's it for him.
Who?
Will.
What about him? Oh, if he goes 0-4?
If he goes 0-4 again.
Okay, we'll offer him an ultimatum.
I think we take him off the site and, like, maybe
purge him.
Yeah. But he'll be on the next podcast that we do because – or maybe not the next one, but one of the next podcasts that we do because we have that special podcast coming up.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely look out for that. But in the meantime, we will put up Will's – what do you think – you want to guess what Will's going to pick?
Yeah, I think that's a good – I think that's a good game to play here. So okay. In New England, Kansas City.
New England.
He's going to take New England.
I agree. I think he's going to take New England.
Okay.
Arizona, Green Bay, I think he's going to take Arizona.
Yeah, he said he liked Arizona a lot. Yeah, he'll take Arizona.
Carolina, Seattle, I think he's going to stick with Carolina.
I think he'll take Seattle.
And then Pittsburgh, Denver, I think he's going to go Denver.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I kind of
– Yeah, you know, I could see him liking Peyton Manning.
Well, I don't know about Manning. I just think with the Steelers' injuries, that's what I think.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not getting a good feel for that one. Okay. I guess I'll go with you.
All right, okay.
But I do think he's going to take Seattle against Carolina.
No, I think he's going to take Carolina.
Didn't he say that Seattle? He had Seattle going to the Super Bowl?
Oh,
on the last podcast?
Have to go back to the brunch archives for that.
I think he's going to stick with his guns and he's going to take Seattle in that game.
All right. Well, hopefully Will doesn't listen to this before he gives us the picks. Actually,
no, he shouldn't.
Just don't release it until then.
No, I won't.
But
or
I guess,
just tell him don't make your picks.
Or no, just tell him not to listen.
I mean, don't make your picks. Obviously, we want him to make the picks.
Well, I guess that'll do it for the brunch.
That will do it for the brunch on this January 14th edition. We look forward to next week where we have a lot of special things coming up. Of course, our brunch surprise coming up probably early in the week. And then we have Steve Frohm joining the brunch for the third time in the brunch's history, but this time from a Power 6 conference school, Iowa State, who's struggling right now, but hopefully Prohm's return to the brunch can turn around the Iowa State program as well. Chris, thanks for being on this evening.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game. I'm excited for Prohm. Big things coming up. It's a good time. Good time to be alive, guys.
Great time to be alive. We're looking forward to all of our special things coming up. For now, we invite you to enjoy divisional weekend in the NFL, and we will be with you once again next week. That will do it for the brunch.
Whoa, fun countries, representing the world.